Dare to dream. That's what this message is all about in my heart, that we would work in our hearts, that God would work in our hearts that joy of stepping forward and daring to dream and then placing action to those dreams. I'm Bruce Mulberry, and I have the joy to be working with At Liberty, www.heartsatliberty.com. It's our joy to be bringing liberty to people's thoughts, their soul, as Holy Spirit uses us to share His Word, and His Word brings truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's the joy of knowing God. We've been studying Ephesians and applying Ephesians chapter 1 to daring to dream, daring to look into the future and saying, God, what do you want to achieve in our lives? And really building a life as opposed to letting other people take us on jobs, taking us into their dreams, but rather joining dreams and letting our vision join with other visions and becoming one in that vision for the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." What a phenomenal passage, that God would give to us his mighty power according to the working of his mighty power. That goes on to say that he raised Jesus from the dead. Exceeding greatness that he wants to give to us. With that, though, is probably the if-then statement, that our eyes are opened, that our understanding is given, that we are enlightened, that we may know the hope of Jesus's calling, and what are the riches of the glory of Jesus's inheritance in the saints. That's us. And we thank God for you, the listener of today, that you too can have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. As we apply that towards what it means to dream, it's that culture of blessing that we've been talking about, because blessing releases hope. Blessing releases favor. Favor releases the power to empowered to prosper. Like tender young plants, we are all growing where God has planted us, and some of us have tried to transplant ourselves to other places, but we continue as young plants. Some prosper, some wither on the vine. Most of us are somewhere between the extremes. God has a plan for you and your family. His plan is to bless every generation and to see that that blessing compounds in the benefits from one generation to the next. KOD, again, that's the kingdom of darkness, also has a plan. And their plan is to curse, to kill, steal, and destroy every generation and see that the curses are destructive and affects and compounds from one generation to the next. The problem we find today with many people is that across ethnic groups, our society, in fact, every social economic subgroup, is and continues to be, instead of experiencing the blessings that we should have and pass it on by parents to the family, we are simply trying to recover from the self-destructive attitudes and the things that we've done in our families to destroy things just because we have earth suits on. Holy Spirit wants to take us into what he calls his divine plan. Of course, most of us as parents would never desire to harm our children intentionally, but we tend to do it. "Hey, stupid, that's so silly. Can't you think right? You're never going to accomplish anything." Those type of words we're trying to think is going to encourage our family, but really we're just tearing them down. What's been the result in your own life? What's the result in your family? Well, I'd like to introduce to you, as we've been talking about, two ancient paths. It's a tool that I have found to be a wonderful tool, and there are seminars that are able to be brought to your church and really bring the opportunity to experience God's grace and blessing for things that have been destroyed and missing, and build them up in your life. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." That word ancient doesn't mean old-fashioned or worn-out shoe even. It actually means universal, timeless, eternal, perpetual, from before time, or even out of eternity. We've been talking about Ephesians 1, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Well, as we can find this pathway that was before time, that came out of eternity for us to walk in, God says we will find rest for our souls. And that's what the ancient paths are about. As we find them, we can find rest. It's God's way that gave function for us to really work on earth to the praise of his glory. Now, gravity works whether you believe it does or not, and so do the ways of God. They were established from out of eternity. The sun, in all of its light, also does great giving of life through green plants that's called photosynthesis. Now, I have no idea of all that happens inside of photosynthesis. However, I know that great things happen, and it's because the sun shines. We walk in the sunshine, it warms us, we gives us light during the day, and it does many other things that are well beyond our understanding. Well, the same is with the ancient paths of God. To walk in his paths is life-giving. One of the most important of all ancient paths is that path of generational blessing that we've been talking about for several weeks now. That is what Family Foundations International is doing, is exploring these ancient paths from empowering relationships to generational blessings to marriage covenant to financial foundations and freedoms. And I would encourage and invite you to experience these life-changing seminars. If you'd like to know more, find me on www.heartsatliberty.com. Pastor Bruce, or Pastor B, at heartsatliberty.com. You can reach me by email. And I would love to have the opportunity to share with you more about what these seminars are doing in other people's lives. It's across the world, 15 different languages. Cultures are saying, I wished I would have known this as I was growing up. It's a great tool. If you're losing hope, don't. Your family can be healed and restored. Your children can reap the benefits of receiving the blessings from you and the blessing culture. Like I said, people over many continents in 15 languages have experienced the ancient path and the culture of blessing. God used these tools to release and share blessing have affected change in many lives. Families, through the power of Holy Spirit, experience the power of blessing at these seminars. Please go to our website where you can find a seminar near you. That's at familyfoundations.com. Or again, visit heartsatliberty.com. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. It's been a joy to have Family Foundations International as a guest on our program. Craig Hill, the founder, has been sharing with us the blessing culture and also dealing with marriages. As we focus some more on today on marriages, the process of couple thinking, the process of being one, the process of learning to communicate and be able to receive one another's feelings are so important. Craig, what's the Father given you today?
Well, Pastor Bruce, thanks for having me on the broadcast again today. And I would love to talk about marriage. As I mentioned on one of the prior broadcasts, My wife, Jan, and I struggled a lot in the first 7 years of our marriage. We never thought about getting divorced, really, but we just wounded each other, and our marriage really became much more like an endurance contest than the blessing that God intended it to be. And the reason was we didn't understand what a culture of blessing was. We didn't understand in marriage what does it take for a woman to feel loved and valued? What does it take for a man to feel valued? Neither of us knew that. And as a result of that, we were conveying exactly the opposite to each other. And I think on one of the prior broadcasts, I shared with you the scripture from Ephesians chapter 6. The spiritual warfare scripture says in verse 10, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." And I found that we indeed did have spiritual forces of wickedness fighting against us. There was a scheme that the enemy was consistently using to get us to wound each other, to curse the identity of each other, and we didn't even realize it. And I found that every human being on planet Earth wants to feel valuable. You know, just like your automobile, it has a gas tank and it uses fuel. Every human has a fuel tank, as it were. And the human fuel tank, the fuel that we use, is value. Every person needs to feel valuable. If we ultimately don't feel valuable, we start to get depressed. And people start thinking thoughts of suicide when they feel like they have absolutely no value, when their value tank is drained just down to zero. And so God intended to use a husband to fill the value tank of his wife. And God intended to use a wife to fill the value tank of her husband. And that really is a culture of blessing. If I boil blessing down to make it real simple, in a marriage, if I bless my wife, what it means, I fill her value tank with the fuel she uses. And as a husband, I need my value tank filled with the fuel that I use. And so I began discovering after 7 years of marriage, the enemy was using a scheme against us to use us to drain each other's value tanks and not even realize it, not even know that we were doing it. And what I discovered after 7 years, God popped my eyes open to the fact that there was an arms dealer. We talked about a little analogy of from the American Revolution, where an arms dealer was hiding in bushes behind a wall and shot the second-in-command British officer, and that was the shot that was heard around the world that started the American Revolutionary War. And I don't know if it was historically accurate or not, but the idea was that it was fired by an impartial arms dealer who didn't care about either side. He just wanted to start a war so that he could sell guns to both sides. And after 7 years, God showed me that's exactly what was happening in our marriage, that the enemy, Satan and demonic spirits, were using one or the other of us to take a shot at the other one, wound the other one, and start an emotional war between us. And the shot that was being taken was very, very simple. On level two communication, which we didn't understand at that time, the arms dealer, the enemy, would use me to make a comment or to do something that would make my wife, Jan, feel worthless and not loved. And I didn't even know that I was doing it. The arms dealer used me in a way that I didn't even know because I was completely blind to level two communication. And again, I just want to share on the broadcast today, I have put together a free 4-part online video series that really delves into this in a lot of detail, a lot more than we can do on this broadcast. And if you'd like to watch that free online video series on marriage, please just go to marriageunstuck.com on your internet. It's marriageunstuck.com. And just click on the page there. It'll ask you for your email and your first name. And when you put that in, it'll send you these 4 free videos that you can watch online. And I'm excited about that. I want to share just a little bit more about that because I was asking God, okay, Lord, I now understand my wife has a value tank. what makes her feel valuable? How would I fill that tank? And God directed me back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 through 33, but especially verse 33, which just says this about marriage. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. And I'd always wondered, well, why didn't Paul just say they should both love each other? And it dawned on me as I began to understand everybody needs value, everybody has a value tank, it dawned on me that the reason Paul didn't tell them both to love each other is because husbands and wives use totally different fuel. And I realized that the fuel that a wife primarily uses is love. The fuel that a husband primarily uses is respect. And those are totally different things. And just like if you try to fill up an automobile that runs on a gasoline engine, if you fill it with diesel fuel in the tank, it destroys that motor. Or vice versa, if you fill up a diesel truck with gasoline, it destroys that motor because it's the wrong type of fuel. And I did not understand that for 7 years. So I kept trying to fill my wife, Jan, fill her tank with the fuel that I used. And finally, I understood from Ephesians chapter 5, oh, she uses an entirely different fuel. She uses love. But then the problem was, what does love mean to a woman? And I had no idea because I'm a man. So I didn't know what love meant to a woman. So I began to ask my wife and various other women that I was ministering to at that time, what does love really mean? What would make you feel loved and valued? And I realized that that it was totally different than what I had thought. I found that there were three key components to love for most women. And the very first one that God showed me was this. Every woman wants to feel, be made to feel high priority in the life of her husband. And so what makes a wife feel valued and loved is when she is high priority in her husband's sight, when she is high priority in his thoughts, high priority in his life. That makes her feel loved and valued. And just to show you the difference between men and women, many people might have had this experience. Suppose it's the very first year of marriage. The husband is at work and the wife is at home. And let's say his cell phone rings at work. He picks it up, and let's say the husband is really, really busy. He's under deadline working on a project that has to be done, let's say, by lunchtime. So he's busy trying to finish up this project. His cell phone rings. He normally wouldn't even answer it, but he notices on the caller ID it's his wife, and he thinks, I better pick it up. So he answers the cell phone, and she says this to him, honey, I just need to know, were you thinking about me this morning? Now, for us as men, the problem is, how do you answer that question? Because the truth is, were you thinking about your wife? And the answer is no. I'm busy. I'm here at work. I'm under pressure. I've got a deadline. No, I wasn't thinking about you. I'm busy. Can I call you back after lunch? And most men are smart enough to know if you tell your wife that, you're going to wound her. You're going to hurt her. But here's the problem. What's the alternative? Lie. Tell her, oh, yeah, I was thinking about you. I was just about to call you. I'm so glad you called me. And if you tell her that, she'll know you're lying, and you'll be in trouble anyway. So what's the answer? There's no answer to that question. What do I say as a husband? And, you know, many times that's exactly what I'm talking about is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, scheme of the enemy. It's a setup. Who started that? You know, when she calls and asks that question, why did she call? And most men, not understanding level two communication, don't know why she called. And again, if you don't know what level two communication is, please, please, please go to the internet right now and just punch in or type in marriageunstuck.com. Click that site, and you can listen to a four-part online series on level two communication and how to fill the value tank of your wife or husband. But what I began to see right away is that most husbands are blind to what she's really asking. And the reason is women speak in code in a certain sense, and all women know the code. They get it when they're born. And somehow for us as men, we have to learn the code. So when a wife says, honey, were you thinking about me this morning? What we do as men, our brains work like a computer. We turn on the computer, we think we were just given a task. And the task is to find out, were there any thoughts in my mind about my wife this morning? Parameters from the time I left home till now. Do a file search in the computer. Thoughts about my wife. We run through the file search. Nope, no such thoughts are there. And then all we know to say is, nope, I wasn't thinking about you. I'm actually busy. Can I call you back later? And again, if we do that, we'll hurt her. Why was she asking that? And the reality is this. She was feeling a little bit unloved, not valuable. Her value tank was simply running low, and she had the thought, I will call the one person on planet Earth who is designed, anointed, and appointed by God to fill my value tank, and I will ask him to fill my tank with love. The problem is she asked the wrong question. The question was, were you thinking about me this morning? And the reason she asked that is because to a woman, love means high priority. Was I in your thoughts? Was I high priority? And God gave me a strategy how to solve that. As a husband, whenever my wife would ask any question, especially if it was a question that started with why, and if there was an angry tone of voice, what I learned to do is instead of trying to answer that question logically, because she really didn't want that answer, what she was actually asking for was to have her value tank filled with love. And the very first thing that love means is it means to make her high priority. So I learned instead of making statements and declarations and trying to answer the question, I learned that the appropriate thing to do was ask her a question about her thoughts, her feelings, her experience. So if the husband would have asked a question instead of trying to answer the question, he could have solved the problem and filled his wife's value tank very, very quickly. Well, what question would you ask? If she says, honey, I just need to know, were you thinking about me this morning? The question he could ask would be this. Honey, I sense by the tone of your voice that you're feeling not loved and valuable this morning. Is that true? That would be her question, and his question. And she would say, well, yes, that is true. And then he could say, oh, I love you so much. I wish I could be there to just put my arms around you right now. And, you know, by doing that, he would be filling her value tank. He would be letting her know, I love you. You are high priority to me. I can't wait till I get home tonight. I just want to wrap my arms around you and hold you. Could I pray for you right now? Do you know if he would do that, that would fill her value tank. So what are the other two things that love means to most women? And what are the key three things that respect mean to most men? Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to have time to be able to get to that on the broadcast today. But again, you can find out what those three things are that love means to most women if you go to marriageunstuck.com. I do two entire videos on what love means to a woman, what respect means to a man, and how can you do that. Again, that's marriageunstuck.com. God bless you. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord
Almighty. Show me your glory, Lord. Families, marriage, this is the protective measure that God has put in place to ensure that children would be blessed in covenant. Covenant marriage is designed by God to protect children at conception, as they grow, and as they are released into young adulthood, and as they continue to see their own families. It's marriage that finds that place. May our marriages get unstuck and really be to the praise of His glory. Dreams come out of our family life. If our family is always shooting us down, our dreams are not going to be very big. If our family is encouraging us to try, we will see things broader, wider. I pray that you'll find that place of blessing your children so that their talents, their passions, their joys are expressed in the family. and that they have a voice, and their voice is used to bring glory to the praise of Jesus Christ. Every one of us will make one of two choices. We will either make a living or we'll design a life. Sometimes I know I have allowed me to be designing life very weakly because I'm out trying to make a living. Designing a life is one that says I'm going to see the future and I'm going to attempt to change what I'm doing now so that I can see my dream come forth as in the future. I have a friend named Jim Shaner. He's a man of prayer. And as part of his purpose and his dream is he has dreamed that he's going to walk across the United States praying every step of the way. His goal is to take the Heritage Trail from east to west, 1 week here, 2 weeks there, raise a bit of support and go back out for 4 weeks at another time. And step by step, over the years, he has gathered his inheritance, all the while having a stream of revenue to achieve his dream working on the occupation. He let his occupation be one that gave him the dollars to go for his vision as opposed to being his vision to obtain the dollars. I really am proud of Jim as he's taken hardships that have taken him actually to lose his occupation in some cases because of injury, but he just keeps on moving step by step across the United States. Google One Nation Under God. That's Jim Shaner's dream. One Nation Under God. That's his vision. He has walked from the East Shoreline all the way deep into Illinois. And because of speaking opportunities, he has walked and prayed different sections all the way into California. Every person he meets on the trail, he is asked, "Will you pray for America?" And he is keeping track of their responses. I believe he has over 165,000 people that have said, "Yes, I will pray for America," as he's been taking step by step. Last week, we established that God has already finished in his mind before he creates with his hands. The very fact that you were born gives evidence that you have a completed purpose. What is your predetermined point of arrival? For Jim, it's getting prayer across the United States and raising prayer support for our nation that we can be one nation under God. His life has been that, and I am so encouraged and empowered by his testimony. And when we actually start achieving our dream, other people get involved with it because one is too small of a number for greatness. John Maxwell said that. Who's joining you in your vision? We can know our purpose and our destination because God has revealed the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. That's Ephesians 8 and 9, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He's given us the necessary tools to achieve that. What are your tools as you move forward for the glory of God? Father, as we close our time today, I pray that you will grant to us wisdom and knowledge and dreams that we're going to put our best foot forward, just as Jim has been putting his best foot forward walking across the United States. What a dream. Thank you for his wife that has supported him and all that he's doing. Father, as we work toward the goal of the high calling of Jesus Christ, may our faith stir us to start setting objectives and goals and purposes. And as we reach for the goal, that we will give our best effort because we know that you're in the center of it and it matches your will and your purposes, that we can bring healing to individuals' hearts. We can intentionally impact future generations for your glory. We can establish the principle of a culture of blessing that will reach out for the praise of your glory and for all that you want to do. May you be mighty in our lives. Thank you for letting me share it with you today. Find a place of worship, a house of worship, and enjoy worshiping Jesus. If you don't have one, join us at Hopewell Community Church in Pottstown. Blessings to you and all.